You're listening to Yale Radio WYVC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with artist Daniel Knorr. He lives and works in Berlin. Daniel, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you also. Hi, how are you doing, guys?
Let's talk about what you're doing now. What is it that's happening in your studio, or what are you getting ready for or occupied for with at the moment?
Well, I ask myself also what I'm doing, but I'm actually evaluating work that's coming back from a show that has had to be in California but didn't happen. So I'm trying to find a way how I will sneak it in to some other events or stuff like that.
And what work was that?
There were tubes with kind of poison in it that I would not rather talk about it here on the phone.
Okay.
I think already my email got a little bit watched by different agencies that I also don't want to talk about it now. So there are tubes containing different poisons where different systems of states devastated or came down through history of mankind. And there are also actual poisons that, you can imagine. So
Now my email is going to be watched, right?
No, I hope not.
what your work is about. So what's happening next? Are you thinking of how you're going to repurpose those works, or would you rather talk about another project altogether?
Well, I was thinking of bringing one of these works to Art Basel, which is happening very soon in Switzerland, and then some other of them might be interested. There is some collector interested in, buying them for a museum. So, I'm photographing them. So, just to know what I have and where I could, put them into. And then I'm also, I have some other works that are actually on the way from Armenia to Antwerp and then to Italy, that got stuck in Georgia at the port of Poti, which was on strike. And so I was really thinking of what's going on. It's actually a form of a rebirth stone that we just cast it, and it's going to be built in Italy in front of a concrete house. And it's
explain that a little more. How will that be rebuilt and made? What will that look like?
It's actually a stone that has a hole in it, and people go through it since 5,000 years in Armenia, and they believe in they get reborn by climbing through it. And so I thought it could be interesting to kind of adopt this to a kind of artistic or to the art section, as art is a kind of a pilgrimage in a cultural way. And so it's also in front of a concrete house that concrete is the material of our times. So it's kind of a rebirth of the stone, which is a basalt stone, into a concrete material. So that's the idea of the piece, to be reborn in a new place, a new civilization, Western civilization, in a Western material, the concrete.
So it's going to be interactive. People are actually going to climb through it.
Yeah, this is the idea. When it's there, it's also you have to think it's quite small, the hole. So you rather, It's hard to pass through. When I was there 4 years before, I was a little bit more fat, so I hadn't the chance to pass through it. They were like, you know, kind of, trying to, you know, pull and try to, you know, get me through it, but it was not possible. And then I kind of lost some weight, and now I really, like, could pass through it. So it's also, I think it's adapted to the size of the people also that also live in this area that is, you know, around Armenia, more in the south, and there are, like, smaller people, thinner people, and it's also civilizatoric biopolitical structure in some way that you know, gets repeated in a Western civilization, let's say.
And so this is a stone that's naturally formed like that, or they're cutting it? That's a carving that's made.
The carving was, and nobody says, like, they said it was, history says it was like a horse, like, that, you know, kind of kicked it out, a hole in this huge stone that is, like, let's say about 9 feet high. And, I mean, people crawl through it since, they say, about 5,000 years. So the surface is really, you know, glossy from the bodies that, you know, sneak through it. And so we reproduce this kind of surface as well, and have this smooth feeling of time that, you know, kind of is printed in it somehow.
So let's move back a little bit and talk about some of your earlier work. And I know some of your work has been controversial in different ways. What was what you think was one of your first most significant shows?
It was like I was still an art student, and I did a piece with cocaine from the police, where I actually exposed the size cocaine that police had, about 500 pounds of, no, how much was it? Excuse me. 1 kilogram is 2 pounds, right?
Yeah.
Or 2 pounds, yeah. Yeah, half a pound. No, wait, a half a kilogram. So it was 1 pound. 1 pound of size cocaine that was, you know, on the floor, and I made a drawing in it. It was like a lemur, like it's an animal between a monkey and a cat. It was written love on it. So it was under bulletproof glass, and police was taking care of it, and also made a kind of a, you know, a little stand with the police work, talking about police work and trying also, like, to get people join the police. And so this was kind of a deal, you know, in order to show the cocaine. And it was a crazy deal.
In order to show the cocaine, I just want to know, because I've seen images of that and the police there and you standing next to it, and I was wondering how that came about. So there was that drawing under glass made out of the cocaine, but part of the deal was, you mean you went to the police, or maybe just walked me through the story and asked them if you could use this cocaine for an artwork, and then they negotiated you talking about positively about the police or joining the police in exchange for that?
Yeah, a little bit like that. It was, let's say, more like I had more kind of special steps to get into it. But, I mean, I was still at the art school in Munich, and I asked one of the guys working there that was like, administrative chief there, and he had like some friends at the police, and then they had like the press office head of the police from Munich coming into the art school. So I had a little model you know, like a mock-up thing showing how the project would look like with, you know, also the cops that were in this little model in it. And then he took this to his headquarters, and one day they had, like, they have every day, like, a press conference because there is a lot of stuff happening. So, you know, they have the press there, and they talk about what was going on here and there. And then it was one day, it was not so much happening. Then, you know, somebody from Bild, this is like a newspaper that is like a tabloid, very, like, very popular one, let's say. They saw this and they asked, what's this? And then the guy said, yeah, like a crazy artist wants to put like cocaine in the floor and make this. And then this guy took on the story, and then he tried to reach me, and they wrote an article in the newspaper about that, did a photograph of the model, and then the whole story started. And they had to, you know, kind of evaluate it. And then they started to think about it. And then they said, okay, but we need to do something for it, kind of, if we are doing it. You know, the guy who was actually at the head of this press office, he was one of the special agents in during the Munich Olympic Games when this shit happened with the plane that was kind of, you know, how do you call it, hijacked. And,
sure.
He was in this team, yeah. He was in this team that killed everybody, actually. And they had, like, a really bad conscience on everything. And they want kind of... they wanted to make it good with the people somehow. And so they took on this project. And this was also one of the reasons, to be honest, you know. This is how it actually... it's one of the part of it. And... then they said, like, yeah, we want, like, something that is around it, you know. We want also, like, and I said, okay, then, you know, you can make your own corner, like your police corner. And then they put up their own posters with, you know, join the police and stuff like that, you know.
And that was part of the exhibit, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. So this became part of the exhibit. And so he was, like... yeah, there were, like, two cops all the time there, also taking care of the piece, but also, like, talking to the people. And there was one civil cop that, you know, looked at the whole situation and kind of sneaked in between. And so, yeah, this was a kind of a new experience for me, or an interesting one. Let's say one of the first shows that, you know, kind of attracted a lot of attention on this kind of work.
And let's talk about something in between there that you know, there's a recent show which we're not talking about so much, which in a way touches on similar ideas with a poison, but what happened after the cocaine show, the first show, let's say, out of school, where you employed similar tactics or were following a similar ideology?
Yeah, I mean, like, for me, the idea, like, to be honest, I'm coming from I'm interested in more conceptual idea about art, and so I come from ideas that materialize. This is why I call this materialization. I think, like, even this interview is a materialization of an art practice, you know, if we talk about my stuff. But like, even if we look at a painting of Cézanne or something, the way we materialize it, we give a form to it, and it's actually, you know, always like something that develops. But, you know, so I in this way, I was not so much interested in this kind of subversive. I wasn't sure it was a subversive act that I was interested to, but I was more interested in the potential of the material, what kind of potential it has socially, you know, like the value of the cocaine in the hands of the police, which is zero. And then in the street, it was about $50,000 or even more, you know. So it was this moment of social impact that kind of was behind the material itself that I was interested in. And I mean, then I developed different works in different ways. So it's like the way that they came out was like also how they materialized, you know, how the idea materialized itself. So I did like, let's say, one of the first, let's say, bigger works that were the work that, you know, was shown in Art Forum was a snowman made of stones that was on the beach in Nice, in France, where it never snows. And so it was made of stones on the, yeah, from this and concrete. And, you know, it was also materialization of a thing that we have in our history of, you know, that is part of us that, you know, goes back, you know, really, really into archaic times. And that actually now it is materialized in that what is there, in that what we have and we not have, you know, and the sadness of the snowman that it cannot melt and actually has to stay there and becomes like a statue of you know of a moment that you know you cannot erase anymore. And yeah, I mean, it, you know, it went in different ways, you know, like I worked also with police files from the Stasi, like the secret Eastern German police that, you know.
Those are the pulverized like, files, right?
I found those like here in a museum that was very strange. Also, the museum was made by the people themselves, kind of, and I just had the feeling that these are the people also from before. They are still there, but, you know, making from their own headquarters the museum was just really crazy. And somehow I could get, like, some stones out of them, you know. These were, like, files that got destroyed, like, after the system was, you know, the communist system was about to come down. So they tried like to destroy a lot of files and had special machines that were like agricultural machines that kind of mills, you know, in a way like mills that were destroying the paper and making celluloses out of it, and then melted this with oil and water, and then it become like chunks of paper that kind of they put them in canalization, and then when the water came, then the whole space inside the you know this headquarters of the secret police like went on, you know, the water went up and it was all full of water, and this is how they found those chunks. And, you know, you could see still letters on it and stuff, but it was like the state, the system itself became like a sculpture, like somebody that, you know, shapes the form of a state of mind that gets back to the kind of, you know, amorph times, you know, to this going back to zero, you kind of destroying all the consciousness somehow. And so I was interested in getting those stones, also like a kind of a potential of a material. So I think like material also always challenged me in some way, but also, yeah, my practice and, you know, or, yeah, let's say materialization of ideas. This is what we do, and I think we live in a very materialistic time. It's we're defined by capitalism, that's for sure.
Yes, that is true. So, but let's get into that a little bit more. Materialization of ideas, that's different than a material culture, isn't it? We're living in a material culture, you know, often a capitalist culture that promotes materialism.
But the materialization of ideas is really an aesthetic concept, isn't it? As you were talking about, Cezanne, how we talk about these ideas, how we make them come to life, how we all kind of ingest them and interpret them. Isn't there a difference between, or correct me if I'm wrong, between the kind of materialist world and the idea of materializing ideas, or in your work? Does that make sense?
Yeah, but yes, I mean, I'm just a little tool in the whole system, to be honest. You know, it's like, if we look at it, you know, what we do here is also part of it. You know, it's like, it's also part, it's, you know, to be honest, like, if you look at, you know, what is artistic practice and then the hubs for it, which are like, let's say this radio now, or even like a gallery or a art institution, it is like a place that, you know, kind of translates to the public or materializes it, a practice, and makes it, you know, acceptable or like eatable, let's say, in a way, you know, kind of open from this date till this date, open from this time to this time. It actually, you know, kind of makes it accessible for the public. And this is also materialization, and it's part of the capitalistic system. It's just, you know, it's not so far away, you know. Materialization of idea is in the same time not so far from materialization of a product, you know. Mm. It is there.
Right, that, right, to consume, because even like these interviews, these are obviously produced so that people can understand, so that they can consume them, mm-hmm. which is, creating, as I understand you're saying, you know, more material for a culture that's been taught to want more that in that sense. But now your practice is focusing really entirely on that concept of materialization. Is that correct? In a kind of more pure form. Obviously, everything that you do is part of that. Is in the context of that. But do you see your practice as focusing on just that theory of materialization, really?
I mean, to be honest, like, materialization is for me, it's a noun that I kind of introduced, like, around the year 2000 when I started with kind of concepts that, you know, are so... you know, let's say not using any material, like the idea is like the name of the piece is the start, and then actually the piece materializes by the perception of the viewer, and also like, yeah, by the people writing and talking about it. And this started with Klaus Comes by Foot. It was a piece like that I did in Zurich, and I invited actually a guy that I met in a museum. He was a museum attendant, or how do you say, like somebody who takes care of you know, the pieces in there, in a museum. I asked them to follow me to Zurich to a private gallery that had a show, and it was him actually the piece, but I didn't introduce him to the people. It was like the press release was a description of the person. And so he was there sometimes he went out. And so the people asked themselves, is this guy really around? Is he here? What is this? Is this like a totally fake show? What is going on? And they, you know, the perception was not happening. Nothing was happening. And people said, well, what is this, you know? And then, you know, we had this dinner, the artist dinner that you already have, like after the opening. And then Klaus was there, and then they asked him, what's your name? And then they found out, oh, you are the guy. And then everything like you know, went on him. So all the, you know, the perception actually moved from somewhere that where it not was in this moment. So I think materialization means also like tracking something and, you know, actually discovering something. I mean, it has with a lot of things. It has to do actually with our way of existence. And I think we live in a moment where we actually, let's say, define ourselves the best, or it's like it's maybe like it's working too good, you know, and it's like it's the moment where we have to kind of interrupt it in a way. I think we have to find a way of being getting out of this concept, because I'm feeling that, you know, we're overdoing it, and it's like you see it, you know, in different levels. You see it at the growth of the numbers of people that are in the world. You see it in, you know, in economic crisis, but you see it, you know, on all kinds of cultural levels that are set, and that, you know, even like this idea of setting new, let's say, new markets, new ideas, this is all like, it serves to one thing, it serves to colonialism, it serves to a humanistic way of approach. And I think it's, maybe we have to do something anti-human that that kind of saves us. I don't know, I have no idea. I'm not kind of a prophet or something.
No, you're an artist exploring, and those are questions that are important and make sense, and that is in a sense what you're investigating or thinking about.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. So it's it's sometimes I just sad, you know, like to see like that. You know, that things are like maybe sometimes too good to be true, too good to be true, and then they are not. So this is kind of, this is the problem of getting a little bit disappointed. Yeah, but, yeah.
Well, wait, just expand on that a little bit. You mean, you're talking about in relation to materialization. If you should just explain that a little bit about something that's too good to be true, and what you mean by what you just said.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was planning actually a show to do in the States, and it kind of, you know, it was just, you know, kind of taken down by the gallerist, and I didn't understand why it's happening, you know, and it was like all the show was set up, everything was perfect, but somehow it didn't work out. Maybe, you know, it's also something wrong when it doesn't work also for myself. I don't want to say I was not, you know, a problem in it, but then, you know, when things doesn't happen, then it's like, it's very strange, and I had a invitation that was an invoice. It was really cool. It was, you know, it was just too good to be true. That's what I mean. So, yes, you know, sometimes it's like you feel that you're part of it. You feel that you know, that you are with 100% in it. But then you feel also that you kind of didn't think of the, I mean, or maybe you thought of everything, but you can't control, you know, and that's also the good thing about it, let's say. Maybe this is the uncontrollable. It's that we have actually have to, you know, kind of concentrate on. So I have also one piece that I'm working on, and I can't tell so much about it because then it will destroy the piece. Look, this is also funny. Like, talk about something that we don't know. and about a piece that you don't know and you can't even imagine, but I can imagine, and I can tell you that it's too good to be true. You know, I think, like, yeah, the uncontrollable is something that really kind of strikes me more and more. And but yeah, as the uncontrollable says, you can't control it. So that's a pleonasm by itself.
Daniel, thanks so much for talking with us today. I really appreciate your
Yeah, you're
help.
Welcome. Thanks a lot for thinking of me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIVC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.